This important podcast is brought to you by the Health Ranger Store, offering a wide selection of prepping and survival products, including nutritional solutions and storable certified organic superfoods. Check out our full selection at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. Thank you for your support. Here's how to know if the coronavirus pandemic is under control or if it has broken containment in China. It's very simple. I'm recording this on February 1st. You may not be hearing it until a couple of days later. And about a week ago, China put the quarantine down on the Wuhan region of China, which means the quarantine, as of today, has been in place for roughly 1 week. In one more week, let's say by February 8th, we will know whether that quarantine has been effective or not. If the quarantine has been effective, we will continue to see a rise of cases for the next few days, leveling off around February 8th. We should see no significant increases on February 9th and 10th and 11th and 12th and so on if the quarantine has been effective. So February 8th is actually a very important date, kind of a milestone date to know whether the quarantine has succeeded or if this is out of control in China. If it's out of control, we're going to see continued numbers increasing February 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and so on. That would likely be the second wave in China. The cities outside the Wuhan region that received travelers from Wuhan via air travel, rail travel, road travel, and so on, before the quarantine really locked down that city, that region. Now, if we see that, then we're probably, that is, if we see the increases outside of Wuhan, then we're very likely to start seeing the following 1 to 2 weeks more outbreaks occurring in countries outside of China. So it's going to be very instructive to watch the numbers that are being posted for Thailand, Japan, Korea, Singapore, Malaysia, Australia, Taiwan, and other nations that are impacted by this, Vietnam as well. Now, my guess is that some first world nations, such as Australia, have a chance to contain this initial wave. I think that Australia, the United States, France, Germany, and so on, the UK, and even Taiwan, by the way, I think has a very good chance of containing this first wave. And Japan does too. Japan is a very organized, obedient type of society. And they can very easily control the entrance and exits of Japan because it's essentially an island nation. And the same is true with Taiwan. Taiwan is an island nation. So they can really have very tight controls that we can't have in the United States due to the fact that we share a border with Mexico, a country where this would spread uncontrolled if it were really introduced into Mexico. Now, I'm not aware of any cases in Mexico yet, but if other countries are not able to contain it, such as Thailand, then it seems very likely that sooner or later it's going to go global and it will end up in Mexico, which means it will end up in the United States, most likely, due to the open border situation. But getting back to Asia, the country that I think is very important to watch is Thailand. I don't have a lot of faith in Thailand, in its government's ability, that is, to crack down on this outbreak. Thailand has a lot of struggle to have a functioning government, even on a good day. And Hong Kong has a lot of social unrest and very tight living conditions there. You know, Hong Kong is essentially what used to be a city nation, now part of China, of course, since 99. But Hong Kong will have a difficult time because there's already kind of an uprising against the government there, the mainland Chinese government. And so because of the social unrest and this political unrest, it will make the response to a pandemic more difficult for the government to carry out. Countries like Korea, hard to say how that's going to go. Or Vietnam, you know, also very difficult to say. Malaysia, I don't have a lot of faith in Malaysia being able to control this. And my big concern for Asia is India. If this starts to break out in India, then it's over. Because India, you know, if you've never been to India, you can't really imagine it. India is a nation of, 800 plus million people, much larger than the United States in terms of population. It's the second most populous nation in the world. And yet, the government in India can't even run a traffic light without causing chaos. If you've never been through the traffic in India, you haven't really experienced the level of chaos that an Indian government can bring to a situation that should be totally normal. So instead of having traffic lights that work, or roundabouts where people can organize the traffic flows, or just a four-way stop sign, the government of India will put in some insane combination of seven roads leading to random flashing lights of various colors with a train going through the intersection at random times at 200 kilometers per hour. That's India. Toddlers, watch out. You can be taken down at any moment on the street by a train or a truck or who knows what. That's India. I don't think India can contain this. I think India's got no ability to respond to this whatsoever. And the same is true with Mexico. So if this gets into Mexico, which could happen easily by it, you know, appearing in Central American nations and then spreading to Mexico. I mean, I can't imagine, you know, El Salvador doing an awesome job of clamping down on this. You know, maybe Panama would do a better job, but, you know, it's not going to be good if it gets into Central America or South America. And in Mexico, of course, you've already got total chaos because of the drug war and the government corruption and the fact that people are totally disarmed and thus they have, you know, no real ability to fend for themselves. Mexico has a super high murder rate and a what you might call a high chaos factor on any given day. And then due to the open borders with America, it's pretty easy to see that if this becomes endemic in the Mexican population, it's only a matter of time before the coronavirus gets carried across the border, especially since there's no willingness among the government or leftists or, you know, left-wing judges or left-wing media to clamp down on the border. So it's going to get carried right across the border into Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, California. It's going to probably end up in Cuba, and then it'll end up in Miami and so on and so forth. It's not going to be good if it gets into Mexico. In fact, it remains a question. How can America isolate itself from the world successfully if the whole world is experiencing this pandemic? You know, what happens if Canada has more cases? And there was just a recent case in Canada, a 20-year-old female college student returning from China. She's a Chinese national going to college in Canada. She initially tested negative for the coronavirus and then a few days later tested positive, which should be really stunning to anyone paying attention, because it means that screening for the coronavirus fails until the virus sufficiently incubates to the point where the viral load can be statistically picked out of the other DNA fragments on a gene sequencing instrument. That's how gene sequencing works. It picks out all the DNA. It'll show you the DNA of every virus you have. And unless the coronavirus happens to stand out, there's no way to know that that person has the virus. And it takes time for the replication to happen inside the human host. And until that replication proceeds to a sufficient level, then there's no way to know that person actually carries the virus. So keep all this in mind. You know, even gene testing, genetic testing, is not necessarily reliable. So what if Canada has a major outbreak? Because we know flights went from China to Vancouver and Toronto. And then from those cities, flights went all over Canada. What if Canada has an outbreak before the United States has an outbreak? Are we going to control the Canadian border? or conversely, what if the United States has an outbreak and Canada is trying to block the U.S.? You know, I mean, there are a lot of questions here. And right now, this is not under control. Pay attention to February 8th. Like I said earlier, February 8th is going to be a key day. If all goes well, then after February 8th, we will see infections fall not only in China, but around the world. We'll just see the numbers start dwindling and there'll be a plateau. It'll just start leveling off. And we'll end up with maybe a grand total of 20,000 infections, you know, the official numbers by the Chinese government. Of course, those official numbers are lies, but, you know, that would be the official count. And then maybe that's it. Maybe the whole thing ends around 20,000. I highly doubt it, though. According to Hong Kong University researchers, the number of infected patients is already over 75,000. I think they estimated 75,815, in fact. And that was many days ago. So like I said before, a realistic analysis of this should lead us to the conclusion that probably we're at 100,000 infections right now in China and around Asia. And if we are at 100,000 infections, it probably means this is outside the window of opportunity of containment. I don't see exactly how this can be contained. And that's, I think, why the World Health Organization just issued its alert, warning that this is set to go global, warning every nation of the world to watch out, to be ready for rapid deployment of infectious disease mitigation efforts in every country in the world, because we're going to have local outbreaks probably. At least that's what the WHO is warning about. Now, I ask you this. You know, the WHO is very conservative about what they say. Notice that they did not issue a press release that said, don't worry, we've got this under control. No nations need to prepare to deploy outbreak, you know, mitigation teams. Nobody needs to deploy that. Don't worry. You know, everything's fine. We've got this thing under control. Notice they did not release that. Instead, they released a press release via, well, statements via the Associated Press that said that every nation in the world needs to be ready to deploy rapid mitigation teams because this could go global. That's what they said. Now, if they're saying that, it's because they fear that it's about to go global. They fear that that's where they're at already. That's the issue. They're just not directly saying that it's gone global, that it's broken containment in multiple countries, but that's probably what they already know. I think in the labs, in the CDC, in the WHO, and in the various nations that are impacted by this, I think they already know. This is not contained and cannot be contained. And at this point, the world simply needs to prepare to deal with this on a global scale. And how do you do that? You prepare for the inevitability of the infection sweeping through your entire population. And you start planning to lose 5 to 10% of your population. And you start planning for massive quarantines or isolations, economic disruptions, and other dire consequences. That's what you have to do, because that's where this is. I think the CDC knows it. I think the WHO knows it. And I think everybody is in a denialism state of panic, hoping that this can be contained when the evidence clearly does not point in that direction. So we'll see. Stay tuned. We'll be covering this, of course, every day. I'll be watching around February 8th to see what happens. I expect the numbers to grow until February 8th, no matter what. But on that day, let's see if they stop. If they don't, we're in trouble. So stay tuned. Keep reading my website, naturalnews.com. We're posting the live numbers. I guess the live numbers of dead would be a twisted way to say that. The number of dead, the number of infected, we're posting that, updated many times throughout the day. And of course, you can catch my podcasts at brighteon.com, like you're hearing right now. My channel at Brighteon is HR Report. Thank you for listening. Get prepared. Stay safe. This may go global. And that's according to the WHO. When it comes to prepping, you not only need good products that can help keep you alive, awake, aware, and nourished during difficult times, you also need products you can trust. At the Health Ranger store, we do extensive laboratory testing using an in-house lab that's ISO accredited. It's inspected, it's audited. It's a 2-year process to even get that accreditation. We use multiple mass spec instruments, state-of-the-art science. I'm a published science author as well and a patent holder on several technologies, some of which we use variations of in our lab. The purpose of this lab is to help you make sure you get clean foods, superfoods, storable foods for emergency preparedness and survival use. We have a certified organic lab-tested, what's called Ranger Bucket collection of storable foods with some survival gear in the buckets to help you even boil water and cook those foods and so on. It's a fantastic product. We can barely keep it in stock, even during normal times. In a crisis, we'll be wiped out of this product because it actually takes us a lot of time to make those products. But if they're in stock, you can get them now at healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. In fact, go to that URL, healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike, and you'll see some of our survival and preparedness supplies, including iodine, colloidal silver products, and gel first aid products, storable foods, superfoods, medicinal herbs for first aid, and much more. We have a lot of products for you to help you be self-reliant, to be safe, to survive difficult circumstances, natural disasters, and all kinds of things. If you want to get prepared, do it with us at the Health Ranger store so that you know you're getting safe, clean, laboratory-verified preparedness foods, supplements, and other related products. Again, the URL is healthrangerstore.com/prepwithmike. All one word, no spaces. Prep with Mike. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for your support.